I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22. We looked at this passage of Scripture last week. We want to stay in it this week and see what else the Lord may have for us. We're in a series entitled, Get Over Your Selfie. And the gist of the series is, God made you to live for Him and someone else, not for yourself. And I love the book of Matthew. Obviously, all the Gospels that showcase the ministry of Jesus are precious. But in Matthew, in chapter 6, Jesus introduces this new way of living. And he says, I know that so many of you are used to living with this type of attitude. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What in the world are we going to wear? We would say today, what are we going to do? How are we going to make it? How are we going to pay these bills? He said, I get that that is the way that the world lives. He said, all these things, the Gentiles or the world, they seek after these things. And I think so many of us can relate to that. I know there are definitely times in my life where I'm so mindful of what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? What about me? And those types of things. And Jesus said, I want to deliver you from that. He said, I want you to look at the birds. Notice, the Father always feeds them. Are you not better than a bird? He said, look at the flowers of the field. In all of their splendor, they are arrayed, and they're dressed better than Solomon was. And your Father did that. Will He not so much more clothe you? He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to completely change your way of thinking. And instead of thinking about what God can do for you, I want you to seek first His kingdom. I want you to live with a God on your mind type of way of living. And I want you to live for others. I want you to live for God's kingdom. And he said, if you can do that, if you can seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things will be added unto you. Basically, what Jesus is saying is if you can focus your life on being a blessing, you will not have to worry about being blessed. And so that's what the heart of this series is. It's about working in us a spirit of generosity. And to do that, we not only want to teach about it, but we want to give you opportunities to be generous. We have an opportunity coming up this week. It's called Love Week. Love Week is where we have partnered up with other nonprofits to just showcase the love of God in our community and around our community. And the good news is Monday through Friday have already been booked up by some amazing people here at Word of Life. So let's give it up for everyone who signed up for Love Week. That is awesome. Awesome serving all of these nonprofits. For those of you who signed up, I would just ask that you show up. If you signed up, show up. Because no one else can get that slot. In our computer system, it's in. So if anyone else tries to sign up for that spot, they can't because you have taken that spot. And so with that, if you signed up, just please show up. If not, get someone to take your place or something like that. Because we want to make sure these places have all that they need to be fully furnished. But there are still some openings on Saturday. Monday through Friday are booked up, but Saturday there are still some openings. And so if you would like to be a part of what we're doing in Love Week and unleash generosity in our community, partner up with some nonprofits in our community, you can go to thelife.cc/loveweek and sign up for those things. Saturday, you know, your kids are out of school, those types of things. It could be a thing where you take your whole family and just show them the ministry opportunities that are here in our community. I want to encourage you that if you go out there and you see the community, you go out there and you work in these nonprofits, you can see that you don't have to go to Peru or Africa or India to make a difference in the world, that right here in the Jackson metro area, there's some tremendous opportunities to make a big difference in the lives of other people. And so we want to encourage you to go out and do that. I think it'll be a blessing to the people you serve, but I also think it will be a blessing to you and your family. So if you want to do that, you can go to thelife.cc/loveweek and sign up for that. Another way that we have an opportunity for you to be a blessing this month, but I think we make this just a regular thing here at Word of Life. We've printed up some cards, and unfortunately, we're all out of them. They so many people at the 5:30 service last night and the 8:30 service this morning took so many that we don't have enough for the 10:11:30 service, but we'll have some more for next week. It's a little card that says just a little something extra to show you that Jesus loves you. And it's just a little card. And what we're saying that you can do with this is you can perform random acts of generosity. It could be paying for the car behind you at the Chick-fil-A. I did this the other day. I try to do it as often as I can. Anyway, I did it the other day, and the lady looked at me. She said, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." She said, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "What did they order?" She said, "They ordered a lot." With that, I said, "Okay, don't tell me the price. I'm just going to go ahead and do it." So I paid for them. Came back for like $48 and like 37 cents. I'm like, how many chicken nuggets can you possibly order? But anyway, I would have loved to have had a little card like this that I could have left the cashier to give to them to show them that this is not just me being a good person. Jesus loves these people, and that's why we're giving. It's not because we're just amazing people. It's because we are demonstrating the love of God to our communities. So maybe for you, it's you bake some cookies and take them to the office, or bake a pie and take it next door, and you leave a card there that says, this is just something to show you that Jesus loves you. Or maybe it's you leave a tip that's over and beyond what is required for you to leave, and you leave that card in there and just say, you know, this is just something extra to show you that Jesus loves you. So it's just another way to be generous and to showcase the love of God. So next week, we'll have a bunch of those cards. You can take as many as you want. We're going to print up thousands of them so you can do just that. But at the heart of this series, once again, it's training us that we don't have to worry about being blessed if we will focus on being a blessing. And that's the heart of God. God has come to deliver us from selfishness. He's come to just completely strip out selfishness and fear from our lives when it comes to this area of giving, and to instill in us a heart of generosity and a heart of faith that we don't have to be afraid to give, because God is always going to bless us in return. You can't literally outgive God. God is going to take care of us. And so that's the heart of this. I want to communicate this, and every time I talk about giving, I try to make mention of this. This is not designed to get you to give more to Word of Life. We're 100% debt-free. If this is your first time here at Word of Life, don't give anything to the church. If you ever hear a message here preached and you think, man, that's just to get me to give more money to this church, take that money and give it to another church. We have no skin in this game. We solely want to establish what it means to be a Christian in you. And when you are a Christian, you're born again. And a part of our old nature, it's a selfish mentality. You don't have to teach your children to take. They automatically take. In fact, one of the first words that all of our children learn is mine. You don't have to teach them to take. You have to teach them to give. But when your heart has been recreated in Christ Jesus, you were born again. And a part of that nature is the nature of God. And with that, you can't separate God from giving. God so loved the world that he gave. And when we talk and you hear people talk about tithing or giving or supporting missionaries and those types of things, it sounds like completely ridiculous. Like from someone from the world, it's like, take 10% of my money and give it to the church. Take money and give it to missions. I'm a mission field. I need some help in my life. You know, what in the world are you talking about? And people don't understand that. But we get it and we understand it. Because there's something within us in that recreated nature that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, and we could try to suffocate it or we could try to snuff it out, but it's there and it's crying out to be a blessing to humanity and to be a blessing to God. And we just want to uncover that and unleash that in you in hopes that it makes a difference not only in your life but in the lives of the people around you and the ministries and churches you are a part of. We said last week that in all of our lives, God's going to test us. He's going to give us the same test he gave Abraham here in Genesis chapter 22. It's the generosity test. In Genesis 22 and verse 1, God looks at Abraham's life and he sees Abraham loves something. Like he really loves something. And what Abraham really loved was his son. And anything that your affections are set on, God will always test you in that thing every single time. And the reason why he tests that, it's this test to see, what do you love more? Do you love me more? Do you love that thing more? Do you love me more? Do you love that video game more? Do you love time with me more? Do you love that television program more? It's in all of our lives, it's that love test, that generosity test, to see what we love more. Now, we saw last week that the reason why God gave Abraham this test was to see just how far he could take Abraham. At the end of the test, he turns to Abraham. He says, "For now I know you're the type of man I can bless. For now I see you're the type of guy who loves me more than you love anything else. I can work with a guy like that. And he unleashes blessings that Abraham has never seen. And that's exactly what I want for you. I want God to be at work in your life more than you have ever seen him at work before. But in order for that to happen, you and I are going to consistently have to pass these tests. And the test that God gave Abraham was, what do you love more? And all of our lives, we're going to get that test, just like we said last week. People ask me all the time, does God mind if you have nice things? If you have a nice car or a nice dress or a nice purse, does God mind if you have nice things? And I always love that question because I answer it this way. I tell them I have a friend. Yes, I have a friend. My friend, he lives in a mansion. His driveway, it's pure gold. The gate to get in the driveway, it's made out of one giant pearl. And they're like, wow, really? I'm like, yeah, I've got a friend like that. You want to know who it is? Yeah, God. God lives like that. That's how God rolls, if you will. When you hear about heaven, it's the most amazing place you'd ever seen. So if God cares about you having nice stuff, then he's got to be the biggest hypocrite in all the world. Because if you hear about heaven, it's nice stuff. And if you hear how God created earth, all the stuff that people consider valuable, whether it's gold or mountain real estate or beach real estate or any of these type of stuff, diamonds, God made all of that. Not only did God make it, at the end of making it, he said, it is good. So to answer the question, does God mind if you have nice stuff? It is absolutely not. But God does mind if nice stuff, or just stuff, period, whether it's your Rolex or your Timex, has you. God cares if it has you. And as soon as he sees that something has you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to test you in that. The rich young ruler was a guy that loved God. Not only did he love God, he came to Jesus and he said, look, all the commandments that you have given us, I have kept them since I was a kid because I love you so much. And Jesus said, that's awesome. You're exactly right. It's exactly right. But he said, one thing you lack. He didn't say the world lacked. He said, one thing you lacked. Go take all that you have, sell it, and give it all to the poor. Then come, take up your cross, and follow me. When the guy hears that, the Bible tells us he gets grieved. He gets sad that the Lord asked for this. And he refused to give it, and he walked away and missed out on that opportunity. The disciples turned to Jesus, and they said, look, this is amazing. And Jesus said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't say having riches was bad. He was saying it's bad when riches have you. And this is the thing, money's not evil. Money can be amazing. Money can be great. Money is a magnifier. Money magnifies who you really are. If you're a great person, money magnifies that. If you're a selfish person, money magnifies that. If you're a person who loves hunting, money magnifies that. If you're a person who loves dresses, money magnifies that. That's all money is. It's a magnifier of who you already are. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Your treasure reveals your heart. Money is a magnifier. And so with this, in the rich young ruler's life, he was tested in that area because that's the thing that had him. And in all of our lives, we'll be tested in this area, and God wants to see what is it that we really love? What is it that we're going after? And he constantly tests us there. See, every level of giving requires a different level of cost. This is why giving, like we said last week, starts with the tithe according to Scripture. When you start to tithe, it hurts. It hurts, man. If you haven't tithed, just start. It hurts. It hurts. And the reason why it hurts is that's the exact way God wants it. He wants it to hurt because he's trying to get you to see, what do you love more? Do you love you more? Do you love my kingdom more? Do you love me more? Or do you love this stuff more? What do you love more? And a lot of people, it's the reason why they don't do it is because of that overriding sense of fear that if I do this, then what's going to happen to me? And once again, God says, that's the very thing I want to root out of your life. I want to show you that when you take care of me, it enables me to take care of you. That when you help my kingdom, it gives me permission to help your kingdom. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So God tests us with each area. But with each area of our life, once you pass the tithe test, it moves to offerings. Once you pass the offerings test, it moves into precious seed. Every level costs us something because God is constantly working fear and selfishness out of us. Now, we see this in the life of Abraham. We talked about that in our own lives last week. But I want to focus today on how to give. And I've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to just major on how we give. Because to God, it matters not just what I give, but it also matters how I give it. And we see this here in the book of Mark, Mark 12 and verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast much in. Now, this has to be amazingly awkward. I mean, this is like Jesus sitting right next to the offering bucket. This would be if offering buckets were passed today, he goes around and he watches each person. This would be like Jesus hanging out at the offering buckets, or if you give electronically, it'd be like you're at your computer, you're tapping it in, and there's Jesus standing over your shoulder. It just seems like kind of an evasion of privacy. But here we see that Jesus is not just looking at what the people are giving, but he's also looking at how the people are giving. Jesus is looking at how they gave, not just what they gave. We get the impression from this scripture that how we give is just as important as what we give. That the spirit in which we give is just as important as what we are giving. And what I want to get at today is putting the right spirit in our hearts, that when we give, we are giving this way. That it's not being given out of fear, that it's not being given out of selfishness. It's not just, and this is huge, especially for a lot of people who have heard messages on giving, it's not just being given because I'm looking for God to give me something more. We want to put the right spirit in our giving. And the good news is the Bible shows us this. It shows us how to do it. And in Abraham's life, he's giving the most amazing thing anyone could ever give. He's literally offering up his own son. He's offering up Isaac due to the Lord's command. But we see it's not just what he's doing and what he's giving, but how he's giving it that made this story so powerful. Let's see a little clue here in Genesis 22. In verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder," underline it, "and worship, and come again to you." We're going to go worship, and we're going to come again to you. Now, when I read this, I see two things. Number one, I see worship. And number two, I see faith. God has just spoken to, and we won't read the whole thing because we read it last week. God has just spoken to Abraham, give your son, offer him up as a sacrifice. And Abraham immediately wakes up the next morning. He's going to go do this. He approaches this mountain, but before he goes up it with his boy, he turns to his employees, and he doesn't have to tell them anything. They work for him. He doesn't have to offer any explanation to them whatsoever. This is in here to show us the spirit in which Abraham is giving. He turns to his employees, and he tells them, look, we're going up this mountain, and when we get on this mountain, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to worship. And the second thing we're going to do is we're going to come back again unto you. Now, how is that faith? Think about it. He's going up there to offer up this seed to God. But he turns to his guys and tells them, look, I know I'm going up there to offer this seed, but this is not the last time I'm going to see this seed. This seed is coming back into my life. Hebrews tells us that Abraham was so convinced that God was going to cause Isaac to walk back down that mountain with him, that if he would have not only killed Isaac, but offered him up as a burnt offering, that God would have picked up each ash, recreated Isaac, breathed life back into him. But one way or another, Isaac was coming back down that mountain. There was no way he was not going to see his seed come back into his life. That is faith. And God wants us to give with that same mentality, that we're giving with a spirit of worship, but we are also giving with a spirit of faith. And in my perspective, not just in the lives of the people I pastor, but also in my own life, most of us who give consistently, we give way too fast. We cut that tithe check or that offering check or that check to missions like we're cutting an electric bill check, like we're cutting the mortgage check. And friend, with that, we're not paying God off or paying these missionaries. We are honoring the Lord with the first fruits of our income. We don't give to God like we pay the mortgage company. They are two separate things. One is going to men. The other one is going to God. And what Hebrews tells us is here on earth, what you give to, yes, the church or the people you give it to receive the money, but the Lord Jesus receives what you put in that money. And we want to slow down and say we want to put the right things in it. And the first thing we want to put in it is the same thing Abraham put in his. We want to put worship in it. We want to put worship in it. It's been my experience that people I give to a lot develop a sense of entitlement. Just been my experience. You could have a different experience. But with this, the people I give to a lot oftentimes develop a sense of entitlement, meaning with each passing gift, they become less and less thankful. Has that ever happened to you? Just seems like that when you first did it, they were so thankful, but now after you did it multiple times, now they kind of expect it. And with that, with each passing gift, it loses that sense of wow or gratitude or thankfulness, and now they feel like they deserve it. The same thing is true in our walk with God. That so oftentimes we can lose what meant so much to us before, that we forget just how blessed we are to have that paycheck, how blessed we are to have that income, how blessed we are to have that increase. And when we give our tithes or offerings, when we give to other people, we should slow down and say, thank you, God, for bringing us where you brought us and for taking us this far. You are amazing. And to slow down and have our own version of a praise break right then and there when we're cutting out that check or making out that envelope, it should be a holy moment. I'll give you an example from the Bible. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 14, you can go home and read it when you get home. God is talking to the children of Israel when they're still in Egyptian bondage. And he comes to me, he says, look, when you get into that promised land, you're going to have something that you've never had before. And this is what you're going to have. You're going to have increase. You're going to have abundance. You're going to have new stuff come in your life, and it's going to be good. He says, when this happens, I want you to do something. As soon as you get this increase, I want you to take the first part of it, and I want you to give it to God. You take the first part, and you give it to God. You take it, and you give it to him. And he said in verse 14, there's going to come a day where you do this so much that your kids don't understand why you're giving that much to God. Maybe it's when the son comes over and takes over the business, and he's tempted to think, Dad, we're kind of in the ranching business, and you are killing so many sheep. This can't be good business. You need to slow your roll here and just, you know, think about what you're doing. And he says, when this happens, he says, you need to take a break from your giving. And he said, you need to teach your son this. He said, basically, this is the Joel Sims paraphrase. You need to tell your son, son, things weren't always like this. I know you see this house. I know you see this business. I know you see your father. I know you see your mother. But this was not always like this. We didn't used to have all of this. In fact, son, before you were ever born, your mommy and your daddy were slaves, living in bondage to someone who could care less about us. But God, with a mighty hand, came and set us free, delivered our family, took us through a wilderness, provided for us all along the way, and brought us to what you see here today. Son, the only reason we have any of these sheep or any of this in our lives is because of God. So we take the first fruits of everything that comes into this family, and we give it back unto him in worship. Love it. Love it. Tithing, even in your home, not every time, because I understand it can be, you know, it can lose its value. But at some point, it ought to become a family affair. Or you bring them around and you teach them. You know why we do this? It's not just because the church needs our money. Not just because the missionary is going to go broke. It's because, son, it used to not be this way. You didn't know us like you didn't know us the way we used to be. We weren't always this way. But God, with a mighty hand, brought us to this moment. He's paid our bills time and time again. He's forgiven us, been patient with us, and we are here today because of the goodness of God. Therefore, we worship him with our giving and honor him with our first fruits. There's a story, a guy that I really love just listening to him talk about this subject because he has the same heart as us. I honestly get the impression that when he talks about giving, it's not because he wants people to give to his ministry. And it is rare I hear people communicate and honestly believe them when they say things like that. But with him, it's true. I believe his heart with this. And he has this testimony of just being really just a radical, radical giver. It inspired me. In fact, this week when I was reading his book, I came home and I've read it. I think this is my fifth time. I came back to my wife and said, look, we're going to up our game. We are going to up our game in this area. And with that, it just inspired me and this giving message. And part of his testimony is on three separate occasions in his life, the Lord has had him sell everything and give it. Everything. Like, everything, his house, his cars, clear out his checking, his savings, his retirement, everything. The Lord has had him do that on three separate occasions. And he says in the book, look, I'm not saying the Lord is ever going to ask you to do that. I'm not saying you should do that. But for me, I have felt like the Lord on three separate occasions has had me do just that. Well, I heard him later tell a story, and he said he was at dinner with another couple who were pastors. And he was with his wife and the pastor couple were with each other. And they're out to dinner, and the wife looks over at Pastor Robert's wife, and she says, what was that like when your husband came to you on three separate occasions and said, we're going to give everything? Like, honey, we're going to sell the house. We're going to sell the cars. We're going to clear out our retirement. Everything. We're going to give it all to God. What went through your mind in those moments? I love this. She said, when I heard that question, she said, tears immediately began to well up in my eyes. And she said, what you don't understand, she's telling this to this other couple, what you don't understand is I knew Robert before he was Pastor Robert. I knew him before he was the pastor of this church. I knew him before he had this great traveling ministry and books and all of these things. I knew him before he was saved. I knew him when he was a drug addict. I knew him when he was running around. And I've seen the work that God has done in his life. And every single time he came to us and told us we were going to do that, she said it was some of the happiest moments of my life. Because to have a husband who went from that all the way to one today who would be willing to do that for the Lord, she said, every single time it reminded me how blessed I really am. I love that. They asked her this question, well, why do you think he does it? Gives like that. Why do you think he does it? She said this, I think it's because Robert has never gotten over being saved. Gratitude, worship, thankfulness, honor. When we give, our giving should be filled with that. Where we worship God with that the same way we worship with our hands, because actually it's a deeper level of devotion, because obedience is always better than sacrifice. I want to encourage you when you give to do that. And secondly, I want to encourage you that when you give the same way Abraham did, with a heart of worship, but also with a spirit of faith. And this is where conquering fear comes into our life. I'm not afraid to give because I honestly know now, I didn't always know this. I heard it, but I didn't know it. I honestly know now you can't outgive God. I've tried. You can't do it. Pastor Robert, in his book, The Blessed Life, where he talks about when the Lord had him do all that, he said he tried and he realized you can't do it. When you give in faith, it eradicates fear from your life because you see the same thing Abraham saw in Genesis 22. You always see your immediate needs met. There's always a ram in the jam. On every step of obedience on that one side of the mountain, God's moving on the other side and it meets in the middle and you see you always have enough. But then you also see future long-term blessing the same way Abraham did, that life 10 years from now looks different than life 10 years ago because of the blessing of God that is in your life. It's amazing. With this, Abraham knew when he offered his seed, he would see his seed again. He'd see it again. When I was 18, I was working at a coffee shop, and I was making a quarter above minimum wage, just a quarter above minimum wage. And I can remember applying for a position within the coffee shop I was working at that would pay me two quarters more than what I was making then. I had to work through like serious unforgiveness when my manager gave that position to someone else, all for two quarters an hour. I mean, it just was like for 5 days, I'm wrestling with bitterness over two quarters. I mean, it was amazing. But with that, that's my financial situation. I mean, my refrigerator was filled with Totino's pizza because the grocery store that I could walk to down the street would sell them 10 for 10 bucks. And I'm like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And so we just load up on Totino's pizzas. That was the only thing in my refrigerator. You open up the freezer, it's like 30 Totino's pizzas. And so with this, I had saved up finally enough money to buy a new jacket. And I was going to buy a jacket because I was going to Bible school in Tulsa where it was colder, you know, colder here than in Jackson. And with that, I'd saved up enough money to buy a jacket. And I was talking to this student who was going to Bible school with me, and he wasn't really a friend at that point, he was an acquaintance. And he was telling me he was about to drop out of school because he couldn't afford that month's tuition. And he had set up a payment plan. He couldn't pay the whole thing up front. And as soon as he said that, the Lord put it on my heart to help with that tuition, to take my jacket money and help towards that tuition. And so I'm walking towards the admission office after our conversation, and I'm going to give that jacket money. But the whole way, I'm like negotiating with the Lord. And the reason why I'm negotiating is, one, I want a jacket. Two, I know I don't have enough money to cover all of his tuition. So there's a good chance I could put down my jacket money on his tuition. And after that, him still get kicked out of school and me still not have a jacket. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm praying like the Jesus prayer, if there's any other way for this kid to stay in school, Lord, open up that way. But I just feel led. I know it's in my heart. I know it's God for me to do this. So I go to the admissions office, and I put down what I have on his admission. And sure enough, I found this out a couple of weeks later. Someone that very day put down what they had on his tuition. It was enough money for him to stay in school, and now he's a Bible school graduate. So that's a neat part of that testimony. But I'm still without a jacket. So with this, I go home that day. And basically, I've grown up in a church like this. I grew up with a man who was just adamant about giving. He's the biggest giver I knew. I mean, I could just tell you testimony after testimony after testimony of his giving in the ministry, his giving in life. I knew how it worked. I'd seen it in his life, but I never tested it in mine. It's like in Isaac's life. He had never seen famine before. I love that story because I can relate to it so much. In Abraham's life, Isaac literally never saw famine. He grew up in a household never seeing famine. And as soon as Abraham dies, you know what Isaac sees? Famine. You know what he's tempted to do? Run. And God has to tell him, no, don't run. In this land, sow seed. It's not enough for your father to do it, Isaac. You're going to have to learn to do it for yourself. And you can use your father as inspiration, but you're going to have to sow seed too. He does, and in that land reaps a thousandfold. But with that in my life, I knew I've got to put God to the test. It's not enough for my father to do it. I'm going to have to do it. So I went back to my room and I said, Lord, I know I'm going to see this seed again. I sowed my jacket money. I thank you, Father. I got a jacket coming to me, whether it's the money to buy a jacket or whatever. You said in your word that if we would give, you would give it back unto us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give it unto our bosom. And I'm just thinking like this. I'm growing in my faith. And kid you not, hand before God, about 3 days later, it was either anywhere between 3 to 5 days, I get a knock on my door. I'm sitting in my dorm room, student housing. I get a knock on my door. I look through the peephole, and I see a lady standing there, and I recognize the lady's face. I know she's the secretary of another minister who knew my father. I open up the door. There's this lady there. She has a box, and she says, we wanted to give you this. I take the box, close the door, tell her thank you, close the door, open it up. And there's basically a note in there from this minister saying, I was praying a couple of days ago, and the Lord put it on my heart to give you this. And I unfold the deal, hold it up. It's a Versace leather jacket. Now, kid you not, I didn't know Versace from Nike. So I'm like, what is Versace? Versace, it's soft. What is Versace? I found out how much it was. I'm like, I'm going to pawn this thing and get like five jackets. I mean, this is... this is amazing.
But with this, I still have the jacket to this day. I still have it in my closet, and I never wear it. You know, it's kind of out of style. It'll be back in style within a couple of years. It's just not. But with that, it's kind of out of style. But every time I see it, it reminds me of this principle. I don't have to be afraid to give. When I give, I can give in faith because I cannot outgive God. Now, here's what I want to end with. I really am ending with this. Don't worry. We have to because we've got a live water baptism at the end of this service. So they're back there waiting to get in that pool. So with that, I've got to end with this. But one of the things that so concerns me and kind of irritates me, I have to put that emotion under, is when people preach on this message of giving with faith tied to it, it turns into the give to get message. Give to get message. And the reason why I have a slight problem with that is the whole reason why God has implemented giving is to get selfishness out of our lives, not put it back in. And a lot of times when people take that message and run with it, it turns into people being more selfish than they were at the start because they're believing God to solely bless them. It's not thinking about blessing other people. They're thinking about God blessing them. And that was never God's intent. God is a God who can multiply your seed sown. This is scriptural according to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We go on and on. God multiplies seed sown. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid to give. But the whole motive for that is not so I can give to get. It's so that I can give to give. I want to give to give. That the give to get side of the equation, yes, there is a measure of that that is truth that takes away fear from my giving, that I don't have to be afraid to give because I cannot outgive God. He will take care of me. But friends, the whole point of multiplication throughout Scripture was never for God to just take care of one person. When God worked miracles of multiplication, whether it's for the widow woman in the Old Testament who gave her last bit of meal and oil and made a cake for a minister, when she did that, it was not just so God could multiply her meal and oil for her, but she fed that minister for many days from then on out. She was not only feeding herself, meaning the multiplication not only took care of her, but it also took care of someone else. In the New Testament, when God worked a miracle of multiplication, it was not just 5 loaves and 2 fish so a boy could go home with 12 baskets. It was so that that boy could see his seed not only come back to him, but also feed thousands of people sitting in that field. God multiplied it, not just for the person who was doing the giving. He multiplied it for the person and the people who would have the giving be given unto them. And friends, I'm telling you in your own life, when you get serious with God and you say, God, this is about partnership. This is about you helping me so that I can help you. This is about me taking care of your kingdom and you thinking about mine. And I said this before when I preached on tithing, but I honestly believe it and stand true to this day. It's in God's best interest to bless me. It's in God's best interest to bless this place. Because he knows that the drop of a dime, we'll sell it all and give it to a missionary in India to build them an orphanage or buy them a car or give it away to build a Bible school. He knows we will do it like literally tomorrow if he has put it on our hearts. And we know that whenever we do that, God always makes up more than what we could give because we serve a God who says, if I can trust you, the whole world begins to open up unto you. It's a partnership. We take care of him. He takes care of us. It's a beautiful thing. It's called covenant. Amen. So with that, when you give, I want you to give with worship. I want you to give with faith. I want you to give with gratitude. I want you to slow down, and I want you to put something in every seed you sow. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. I thank you for these amazing people. Had so much fun preaching to them today. This service, Lord, was my favorite service. Bless them for listening so well. Help them not tell the other services. I said that. But Father, I thank you just for the privilege of doing this. And I thank you turn us all into just radical givers. And help the people around us and help you in your kingdom. We love you, Lord. I thank you for these people. And I ask for this next moment to be special for the lives of everyone in here, but to also be special in the lives of the person it is happening to. And I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, your anointing just comes in this room and makes a moment that we will never forget. We ask it all, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.